morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, May 2nd, 2018. We have 26 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, north winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the north 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 6 feet high at 10 seconds apart. So we got those north winds and west swells. Could be a little bit of confused seas out there. And today we're going to be talking about the proposed methanol plant at the Port of Kalama. There's some more developments there. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 6 inbounders. We have 9 in the Astoria anchorage. We have 4 in the Rice Island anchorage. And we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Aquarius Leader. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She's a car carrier with Subarus on board. She'll pass Astoria around 8:30 this morning. You might see her in Vancouver by about 2:30 p.m. The Carnival Legend is arriving from Vancouver, B.C. She's headed for Portland to the shipyard at Swan Island. And so this could be, it looks like a cruise ship going up to the shipyard there. They have there the largest floating dry dock in North America, I believe. It was brought in a few years ago on a heavy lift ship in pieces and then assembled at the Vigor Industrial Yard there at Swan Island. And so this seems like a cruise ship that will be heading upriver. No passengers on board, going there for repairs and maintenance. And part of the reason for putting that ship in, that dry dock in there, was to allow those kinds of repairs on cruise ships to take place. So our shipyard here in Portland is a pretty big deal. Ships come from all over the world to go there and get repairs and maintenance. So she'll pass that story maybe around 10:30 a.m. in Portland around 4:30 p.m. The Auto Banner is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Portland. She's a car carrier with Hyundais on board. She'll pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m., see her at Portland and the port of Portland by probably around 9:30 p.m. The Navigate Spark is arriving from Los Angeles, headed for the Astoria anchorage. Look for her arriving there at about 5:30 p.m. off the downtown waterfront. The Eastern Asia arrives from Japan. She's headed for Longview to pick up logs. She'll pass Astoria around midnight, maybe around 3:30. Arriving at the port of Longview on Thursday morning. And the Champion Istra is arriving from offshore, headed for Portland. She'll pass Astoria around midnight. Look for her in the Portland area by about 6 a.m. on Thursday. And in the Astoria anchorage, the Navigate Spark, which is arriving this evening, will leave around midnight and head to port westward, where she'll pick up what I think might be a cargo of methanol there at the port of St. Helens, port westward installation there. And so she'll be arriving there around maybe 2:30 Thursday morning. The other ships in the Astoria anchorage are awaiting orders. They are the Sanyu, the Star Helena, the Bargara, the Diamond Stars, the Star Crimson, the Belo Horizonte, the Raraka. And the Daiwan Brave continues to load logs at the port of Astoria. The Rice Island anchorage, a little upriver from Astoria, has 4 ships in it right now. The Medi Baltimore, the Southgate, the Prabhu Vuvika, and the Pansolar. And they are all awaiting orders. So you get quite a lot of ships out there. I mean, there's like over a dozen ships from one end of the Astoria waterfront way to the other where the Rice Island anchorage is. It's quite a sight if you get up high and look out on the river over the past few days. In our outbounders, we have the Osprey Arrow. She's heading out of Portland carrying soda ash from the port of Portland, leaving around 5 a.m., passing Astoria outbound maybe around 11 a.m. The New Days is leaving Longview with logs on board around 2:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The ATB, articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance, she's a Crowley-owned vessel, a U.S. Domestic-flagged vessel. She's leaving Portland with petroleum on board, leaving around 3:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30 p.m. The Ocean Jorf is leaving Portland carrying wheat about 6:30 in the evening, maybe passing Astoria outbound a little after midnight on Thursday morning. The Sangha Hadong is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat at about 6:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around maybe 12:30 or so. When you see those ships that are kind of passing certain points on the river at the same time, they leave about 2 miles between them when they're traveling so that they can't bunch up on one another if anything goes wrong. It gives wiggle room if anything happens. Like sometimes ships, their engines just quit for various reasons, and it is not an easy matter to start them back up again. So pilots and crew members are always on the alert for things like that happening, which happen rarely, but they do occasionally happen. You'll hear about it sometimes in a news story. The Star Amethyst is leaving Kalama carrying corn, soy, or wheat, leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 3 p.m., and the Ismene is leaving Longview carrying wheat around 11 p.m. She'll be passing Astoria around 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Well, let's see. Just look at the Columbia River bar forecast. I didn't share that with you earlier. In the main channel where the big ships come into the river, come and go, we have combined seas 3 to 5 feet through Wednesday. Seas will temporarily build to around 7 feet during those max ebb current times. We had one around 7 this morning. We'll have another around 7:30 on Wednesday evening and another around 7:30 tomorrow morning. So about every 12 hours, the bar becomes quite dangerous, and that's why it has its own weather forecast. Well, I like to keep you updated on maritime news, and this is from a newspaper that really does a lot of maritime news on the river, the Longview Daily News. You can find them online at tdn.com. They do great coverage of port news, and they did a story today about the proposed methanol plant in Kalama and what is happening there. This is from a story by reporter Zach Hale. And I'm just going to read some parts of excerpts from it to you. Would Northwest Innovation Works, that's the company that has proposed building this plant, their $1.8 billion proposed methanol refinery at the Port of Kalama add significantly to global warming? That's how the article starts out. Cowlitz County and the Port of Kalama have outlined a study that will attempt to answer that question. It's the second time they'll seek to do it in a way that satisfies state environmental regulators. The study is part of a supplemental environmental review to address the State Shoreline Hearings Board's decision to reverse two key shoreline permits that the project needed to move forward. The board last fall sided with a coalition of environmental groups who argued that the project's first environmental review was inadequate because it didn't account for all the greenhouse gas emissions potentially related to that project. Northwest Innovation has already engaged a California-based firm to conduct the analysis. No completion date's been set. A public comment period will be held when that draft study is complete. During a previous 30-day public comment period that ended on March 1st, environmental groups had urged the port and county to conduct an entirely new review of the project. A coalition led by Columbia Riverkeeper argued that the new review should include analysis of whether the plant's natural gas demands would reach or exceed the supply capacity of the Pacific Northwest's gas infrastructure. Now, the plant would convert natural gas into methanol, and it would use enough gas to supply 1.6 million homes annually, according to this article. The group also argued the review should study whether the plant would lead to an increase in gas wells, natural gas production, and fracking activity. The plant would create 90 permanent jobs, 1,000 construction jobs, according to its original EIS. That's an environmental impact statement. Critics note the first EIS also showed the plant would produce the equivalent emissions of 260,000 passenger cars, boosting the state's annual greenhouse emissions by 1.2%. Critics say the emissions would actually be much higher. For more on this story, see the Longview Daily News online. They're at tdn.com, and the reporter again is Zach Hale. You've been listening to, the Ship Report on Coast Community Radio. It's going to be sunny out there. I can see it through the window. Go out there and have a nice day. And thanks for listening.